So today we'll be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 48, Krishna Praises His Devotees, text number 20. Yatha hi, do you know how the meter goes?
Yathahi bhuteshu charachareshu
mahi adayo yonishu bhanti nana
evam bhavan kevala atma yonishva
atmatma tantro bahudha vibhati
Yathahi bhuteshu charachareshu
mahi adayo yonishu bhanti nana
evam bhavan kevala atma yonishva
atmatma tantro bahudha vibhati
Yatha,
as he, indeed,
Bhuteshu,
among manifested beings,
Chara,
mobile,
Achareshu,
and immobile,
Mahi Adayaha,
earth and so on, the primary elements of creation,
Yonishu,
in species,
Bhanti,
manifest.
Nana,
variously.
Evam,
so.
Bhavan,
you.
Kevala,
one alone.
Atma,
yourself.
Yonishu,
in those whose source.
Atma,
the supreme soul.
Atma tantraha,
self-reliant.
Bahudha,
manifold.
Vibhati
appear.
Translation by the servants of this divine grace, Shri A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. Just as the primary elements, earth and so on, manifest themselves in abundant variety among all the species of mobile and immobile life, so you, the one independent supreme soul, appear to be manifold among the variegated objects of your creation. So just repeat the translation after me. Just as the primary elements,
earth and so on,
manifest themselves,
in abundant variety,
amongst all the species of mobile and immobile life.
So you,
the one independent supreme soul,
appear to be manifold among
the variegated objects of your creation.
So this text doesn't have a purport. I'll read the next one.
Sri Jasi Atho Lumpasi Pashi Vishwam Rajastamaha Sattva Gunai Svachakti Bhi Nabhadyase Tad Guna Karma Bhiva Gyanatmanaste Kvacha Bandha Hetu.
Translation. You create, destroy, and also maintain this universe with your personal energies, the modes of passion, ignorance and goodness. Yet you are never entangled by these modes or the activities they generate. Since you are the original source of all knowledge, what could ever cause you to be bound by illusion? Purport. The phrase Gyanatmanas te kvacha bandha hetu. Since you are constituted of knowledge, what could be a cause of bondage for you? Definitely indicates the obvious, that the omniscient supreme God is never in illusion. Therefore, the impersonalistic theory that we are all God but have forgotten and are now in illusion is refuted here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Vacharini, Nirvishesha Kshinyavati, Paschacharya Shatarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Vrata, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Hare Krishna.
So So in this chapter, as we can see, the name of the chapter is Krishna Pleases His Devotees. So we can see in the beginning of chapter, as promised by Krishna, Krishna went to Trivakra's house of Kubja to please her, and also in this way he cured her material lust. And then Krishna and Uddhava carried on to Akrura's house. And in the past few verses we saw that how Akrura set such a nice example of how to receive guests, and in this case the guest was God himself. And we saw how he respectfully got up and greeted them, embraced them, paid them obeisances, and made them sit in their respective seats. Balaram was also there. And then he started bathing their feet. And after that he started massaging Krishna's feet, and along he was reciting these wonderful prayers, which we have just read two verses. So in this verse we can see about, this verse talks about the universe, how it is created, destroyed and maintained by the personal energies of the Supreme Lord. So, and the example is given of the earth in the previous verse, that just as the primary elements, earth and soil, manifest themselves. So we can see that from earth so many forms come. Just like this microphone, this temple, these are all manifestations of earth, this body and so on. But actually these things don't have a form. Before the creation these elements are in a subtle nature, but after creation they manifest themselves into variegated forms. So that's what the previous verse is trying to tell us. And this transformation into form is called vishesha. And when there is no transformation, it is called nirvishesh. Just like when we sing nirvishesha shunyavadi. And all these forms, they don't have variety. But in the manifestation stage, they assume variety. And that's what the varietedness is of this material world. And we also see that the material creation is created and annihilated at certain certain times. Just like we can see with our own body, we have a birth date and we celebrate that. And we also have a day when we leave this body. So there's a beginning and an end. So anything in the material world has a beginning and an end. So similarly, the universe also has a beginning and an end. Though we can't see that, because the span of the universe is so long and our span in that is very short. So it's very hard for us to perceive that. And that's what the modern scientists also say. That they agree that the universe was created, but they don't know when it will be annihilated or if it will be annihilated at all. But from the Vedic scriptures we know that the universe was created at a certain time and will be annihilated. And this creation is called Bhaktam, and the annihilation is called abhaktam. Just for example, if we take gold, in the beginning gold is in a molten state. But and then from gold you can create so many things like jewelry. Some people have a gold tooth. So this way we can see that first things are in an unmanifested stage and then they become manifest. So also we see, also as we know, that Akrura here is talking about the energies of the Lord. And so Krishna has three principal energies: his internal energy, his external energy and marginal energy. So the external energy, which is composed of earth, water, fire, air, ether, the five big elements, and then the subtle elements like intelligence, mind, false ego, ahankar. And then there's the jiva. And also, when these elements are set into action by time, the modes of nature become manifest. So, but the jiva is the internal energy of the Lord. And somehow or other, he has come into contact with the external energy. And it is the choice of the jiva whether to stay in the external energy or in the internal energy. So it is described that the jiva comes in the external energy due to forgetfulness of his relationship with Krishna. And just like in the Bible it is said,
we all have come from the kingdom of God and the story of Adam and Eve. So similarly, because of our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, we are here in this material world. And Krishna has created this wonderful process of devotional service just to bring his, reclaim his fallen souls back. But also we see that whether it's external energy or the internal energy or the marginal energy, these energies, they are not independent of the Supreme Lord. They are always under his control. Just like if we take the example of fire, from fire comes light, also smoke and heat. But these energies, they're not separate from fire. But also at the same time, these energies, they constitute fire. These energies, they combine and make a fire. So similarly, we, the energies of Krishna, being external, internal or marginal, and the phenomenal manifestations we see, just like the universe, this huge gigantic universe, these are just impersonal features, because there's a difference between energy and energetic. So energy comes from the energetic. Just like from the sun we see so much energy comes in the form of heat and light. So similarly from the Supreme Lord, he has multifarious energies and they are broadly divided into these categories. But at the same time, the Supreme Lord has his own personal form, Satchidananda Vigraha. And which is, his form is made out of bliss, knowledge and eternality. And he has a form. Whereas the whole material creation is made out of his energies and is impersonal. So this is very hard for the materialist to understand how the Lord is simultaneously present everywhere and he has his personal form as well. So this is called Achintya Bhedabhed Tattva. That he's spread everywhere by his energies, but at the same time he's present in his planet, in Golok Vrindavan, in his own form. And at the same time, when he expands his energies, he does not diminish in his personal form. He remains complete, the absolute truth. So as we see, as this verse, the next verse tells that the Lord has three material energies, modes of goodness. The external energy is manifested into three forms: the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. And these three modes bewilder the living entities. And due to the influence of these three modes, the jiva is trapped in the material world. So even though the jiva is qualitatively the same with the Supreme Lord, just as Prabhupada gives the example of the water in the ocean, just like the drop of water is same qualitatively with the whole ocean, qualitatively with the same ocean, in the sense that it has the same chemical composition, but qualitatively there's a big difference. That the spirit soul is minute and the Supreme Lord is infinite. So that's why the jiva sometimes comes under the control of the various energies of the Lord, like the external energy. And also we understand that the jiva is controlled and is not independent, but the Supreme Lord is the controller of all that we see. And just like the example of the sun is given, the sun can be compared to the Supreme Lord. And from the sun comes the sun rays. And so the sun and the sunlight can be compared to the spiritual sky and the Supreme Lord. But because of the rays of the sun, clouds are generated. So similarly, Maya or the external energy is like the clouds in front of the sun. So the clouds are very, we see every day in the sky, the clouds are so small. So the clouds only cover a certain area. So therefore, the clouds cannot cover therefore the Supreme Lord cannot come under the influence of the clouds or Maya. But the Jiva, because he's situated under the clouds, he cannot perceive the Supreme Lord, or he comes under the influence of Maya. Also, another example which Prabhupada gives is like the king, that the king is never subject to the state laws, though he creates them.
whereas the his subjects are subject to the various state laws. So similarly, in the same way, the Supreme Lord is the supreme controller, whereas we are also controllers. We are minute Ishwaras, just like we see. We all have the tendency to control, dominate. Also, if like in the workplace, we see how so many people, they have the tendency to control. They want big positions to control. So this is the desire of lording it over others. But the Supreme Lord is the supreme controller of all that be. And also the creation and annihilation takes place just like the rainy seasons. Just like, well, these days in Kali Yuga, there's no certain time for rainy seasons. It's all haphazard. But before we could see that there are seasons. Rain would come at a particular time. It would rain and rain. Then it would stop. Then another season will come. So the creation of the Lord also takes place like that. And the creation of the Lord takes place when He wills. And the creation of the Lord, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata adhyuthana madharmasya tadatmanam shri jamiya, that Krishna descends in the material world in order to save the principles of religion. So Krishna creates the material world for two purposes. One is so that, because we have a desire to enjoy separate from the Lord, so we can try to fulfill all our desires to enjoy separately from Krishna. But at the same time, Krishna has the Trishul, the three modes of nature, so that to make us realize that the material world is not a place of happiness. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that the material world is dukhalem ashashvatam, that it is temporary and is a place of misery. So Krishna makes this world for our enjoyment, and at the same time He has made these modes of nature so that he wants us to come back. And I said before, He has given the process of devotional service. So, and He has given all the scriptures, the sadhus are there, the shastra, guru, so that just to reclaim His souls back in the spiritual world. So these are the two purposes for the creation of the Lord. And also, we'll discuss a bit of the creation, how it takes place. That when the Lord wants to create the material world, first He expands as the Mahavishnu in the causal ocean. And from Him, from the Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu comes the Mahatattva. And then the time takes place. And by the interaction of time with the Mahatattva, the three modes of material nature, they manifest. And the three modes of nature are also called nature. And in due time, with the interaction of time, the activities take place. The activities come about. And as we see in the material world, that the material world is usually the creation of the mode of passion. So, and Brahma is in control of the mode of passion. So, or Rajas. So in the beginning, the mode of passion and goodness is created. And in due course, when the mode of passion increases, just like in the different ages, in like Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapa Yuga, Kali Yuga, the modes of nature, they change gradually. And in Kali Yuga, we can see that the mode of passion is very prominent. And the jivas, they are engaged in the mode of passion, and which gradually turns into the mode of ignorance. And as we see, the tendency of the material world is to push down things. Just like we try to set high standards in devotional service, but after some time we see that by the influence of time and material nature, that our standards go down because they are being pushed down by the modes of material nature. So we always have to cling to the devotional service of the Lord to uphold our devotional practices. So here in the next verse, Krishna, Akrura describes that you create, destroy and maintain the universe. Just like we see even in this world, that there are certain people, like if somebody wants to make a house, there are certain type of people who can create. Just like the builders, their job is to create. And usually they're very passionate people. And then the person who lives in the house is the maintainer of the house. So just like some people who live in the house, in due course, by the influence of time, as I said, time degrades everything. As Prabhuji was mentioning yesterday, that by the influence of time, everything gets degraded. So the person living in the house tries to maintain his creation. So maintenance comes in the mode of goodness. And maintenance is a very demanding task. And similarly, then there are a certain type of people who come to destroy it. Just like when the house gets old-fashioned, we can see like on Little Page Street, so many houses got renovated. And then they got, what do you call the people who renovate? Who destroy?
Demolition.
Yeah, the demolitions. So they come with the equipment and they come and destroy a place. And then the creators come, or maybe the same people created. It's just a mundane example. So similarly, when we see the universe, the Lord Brahma is in charge of the creation of this universe. And he acts under the mode of passion. And he creates the material universe. Whereas Lord Vishnu, who is an expansion of Krishna, or the plenary expansion of Krishna, he maintains the universe by his various potencies. And then Lord Shiva, he destroys the material universe at the due course of time, when the time for annihilation comes. So, but here Akrura says that you are never entangled by these activities, because the creator is always above the creation. The supreme creator, because Krishna is always above these things. So how can he be influenced? As we gave the example of the king and the clouds and the sun. So Krishna can never be influenced by his creation. And also, as we can see by this verse, that Krishna is never influenced by his creation. And actually, he doesn't need to create. He doesn't need to do these things personally. All these things are done by just his willing. Due to the arrangement of his potencies, when he wills, but just by willing, the universes are created in a flash of a moment. And when he wills, they are annihilated. But Krishna performs the creation and annihilation just for our sake. Because as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, O son of Pritha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems. Nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything. And yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. 3.22. So, as Krishna says, there is no work prescribed for him in the three worlds. Just like in our case, we see when we perform some action or work, we need to obtain something. We need a result from that action. That's why we perform it. Or we are in want of something, as Krishna says. So that's why we perform some particular task. Whereas Krishna doesn't need to perform it. Why? Because he is the supreme lord of all that be. He's the proprietor of everything. He's the proprietor of all the demigods. And he's the supreme director of all directors. And he's the leader of all the leaders in the creation. Therefore, and as in the first verse of Bhagavatam, Janmadi Asya Yadaha, he is the source of everything. He does not need to do anything. And also, Krishna is omnipotent and omniscient in the sense that with his one sense, he can perform the action of all of the senses. Just like when we see bhoga is offered to the Lord, and Krishna can eat with his eyes. And Krishna can see with his eyes, Krishna can also eat through his limbs, and Krishna can see through his various limbs. So, therefore, Krishna does not need to do anything. Everything is done by his various potencies or his various energies, multifarious potencies. And they are performed as a natural sequence. Just like we can see in the pastimes of Krishna, in the 10th canto, that
Just by his yoga maya potency, Krishna performed so many acts. He did not do them personally, but just like when Krishna was imprisoned in Kamsa's cell, and when Krishna, when Vasudev took Krishna to Mathura, and by the yoga maya potency everybody fell asleep and the locks opened, and then Vasudev took Krishna to Mathura and placed him with Yashoda, with Mother Yashoda. And when he came back, similarly he got chained himself and all the doors closed and the guards woke up. So this is an example of how everything is performed by the potencies of the Lord, just like the yoga maya, in this case the yoga maya energy. So therefore Krishna does not need to do anything, but then why does he engage in prescribed duties? And Krishna himself describes in the next verse of Bhagavad Gita that if I do not perform the prescribed duties, then all the three worlds will put into ruination. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yad yad achari shreshas tad tad eva taru janaha sayat pramanam gurute lokastad anuvartate, that whatever action a great man performs, all the common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, the whole world pursues. So if Krishna says he does not perform his prescribed duties, because he's the supreme authority, as we discussed, then everybody will follow him. And we can see that in the material world, like Prabhupada, in order to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, he tried to give it to the big leaders. His aim was to present Krishna consciousness to the leaders. Because as we can see, Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna and he was an administrator, he was a Kshatriya. So Krishna specifically didn't, you know, speak it to a sannyasi or sadhu. He spoke it to an administrator and householder, so that otherwise everybody will have an excuse that Bhagavad Gita was only spoken to the sadhus and therefore we are worldly people, so you know we can't follow your teachings. Because Krishna knew people would have these excuses, so he spoke it to an administrator, and the duty of, and whatever a leader does, all the men follow, the whole world pursues. As we can see in today's society, the leaders are so demoniac and the whole world pursues them, and they are engaged in all the vices, and similarly so also the society is engaged in all the vices. And also we see also Prabhupada, as I said, that he wanted to give this information to big people, and somehow his disciples attracted George Harrison. And when George Harrison, he composed that album My Sweet Lord, millions of people, you know, started singing that, and so many people became devotees just by his example, because he was a great man. So therefore we can see Krishna also performs the prescribed duties, because he is worried about us, he wants to get us back, and therefore he performs these duties just to so that we can follow the religious principles and come back to him. But then people might say, oh, you're Krishna, okay, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita, but his activities with the gopis are very contradictory, so what will you say about that? So we can see there's no doubt about that. On the mundane platform they look very contradictory, but one who is spiritually very advanced, he can relish those pastimes and he can understand them in the true light. And also because Krishna sometimes he breaks the rules for two reasons. Sometimes to please his devotees, his very intimate devotees who are related to him in one of the five primary relationships. So sometimes he breaks the rules and regulations so that to please his devotees. Just like we can see in Mahabharata, you know that pastime when he picks up the wheel, he picks up the wheel of the chariot. He said he promised that he will not take part in the battle. But then just to protect his devotee Arjuna, he takes the wheel of the chariot and he goes running towards Bhishma. So sometimes Krishna breaks his promise just to please his devotees. And Bhishma, he wanted to have a relationship with Krishna in terms of fighting. He wanted to give Krishna pleasure in that way. So and Krishna was also, he broke it for that reason, to give,
to protect his devotee and to give pleasure to Bhishma. And in many cases we can see sometimes Krishna breaks his promises. But we should not try to imitate Krishna. We should try to follow his words as given in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. And we should always try to follow his instructions. And we should not try to imitate it. So that is very important. And all the rules and regulations, like just like we follow sadhana vidhi, which is the rules and regulations are for the conditioned souls, to bring them to the platform of like raganuga bhakti, so that they can be engaged in spontaneous loving devotion with the Lord. Therefore, there are so many rules and regulations. Just like in a Krishna consciousness movement, we rise early in the morning, we come for Mangalati, we do our japa, then we engage in kirtan, glorifying the Lord, and we attend class, then we have breakfast. So all these have prasadam. So all these rules and regulations are to regulate us, so that, because right now we don't have a taste for such activities. But if we do them, not we should not do them mechanically, but if we try to follow the rules and regulations strictly, Prabhupada would say that we should follow the rules and regulations just like a machine. Like we see how a machine works perfectly. So just like the clock, it works perfectly, and so many machines which work perfectly, they're like a computer. Well, not Microsoft, it crashes all the time. But or like Linux, or they are much more stable systems. So we should also try to work like a machine. We should follow a sadhana like a machine, so that in this way, by following the rules and regulations, we can get purified. Yeah, and also, as mentioned, we should only follow the instructions of Krishna, but not try to imitate them. And also Krishna says in the next verse that if I did not perform these prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living entities. So the unwanted population is like Varna Shankara. And in this age there is no shortage of Varna Shankara. Everywhere you can see that. And Prabhupada would give like hippies Varna Shankara. And this is... And then people will say, okay, Krishna, you said that, you know, you follow the prescribed rules so that we can also follow them. But then why do we see so much Varna Shankara in this world? That means you're not following your prescribed duties. But as Prabhupada would say, and that Krishna in the age of Kali Yuga, he has incarnated in the form of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna has incarnated in the form of his holy name. And also Prabhupada would say, ISKCON is a manifestation of Krishna. And he gave a lecture on this. ISKCON is a manifestation of Krishna. So if we follow this process given by Srila Prabhupada and try to stay in ISKCON, and you know, then we can perfect our lives in this manner. So nobody can say that Krishna is not looking after them. Krishna has come in the form of his holy name. And everybody gets a chance to hear the holy name in the form of Harinam, book distribution, prasadam, and there's so many programs. People can come and associate with the devotees. And in this way, they can come to the platform of spiritual knowledge, and they can try to perfect the knowledge. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there are any questions or comments or any corrections. Karantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.